listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome and greet you, all you listeners, wherever you are on the radio, maybe on the internet someplace around the world, and even Donna's brother lives in Australia, and he can pick it up on internet in the middle of the night. So there's a lot of places where you can pick it up. So we greet all of you wherever you're listening at around here, or the state, or around America, or overseas. We welcome all of you. We call this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And that's exactly what we want to do. You heard the intro. We do a lot with the Jewish things, especially God's appointed times and His calendar and all the things that we've been robbed of in so many areas. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And if you hear something here you'd like to hear again, well, you can ask for a tape or a CD, whatever you want. And all we ask for is a love offering from you, because this program's not free. And you just ask what the Lord would have you to give and write out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And you can mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995, and we'll get it out to you as soon as we possibly can. All right. Well, we're honored to be. Aren't we honored to be here with them?
We sure are.
And today will be today's the 21st day of counting the Omer. But we're going to talk about something a little bit before that, and then we're going to get into talking about the Omer. So this is really, we're counting. We're into 3 weeks now, Pastor Don, into counting the Omer.
Amen. And I wanted to mention also, we have church services here in Stuart, Florida. Every Sunday morning we meet together to worship the Lord, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy. Mm-hmm. And that's the name of the church, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And that's Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And mm-hmm. we also meet at Friday. We have Shabbat services.
Wow, thank you, Lord.
Shabbat. Yeah. Yes, that's right. So it's Shabbat on Friday at 7 p.m. And then people, you know, we have communion that night, and we also spend time seeking the presence of the Lord and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And then we also have meet on Saturdays, and we have this Saturday is going to be a movie, and I believe it's that movie about
God or Heaven is Real.
Heaven is real. Heaven is real.
That's
I remember
they're going to show you today.
Heaven is real is being shown today at 4 o'clock.
Amen.
So if you're interested, it's a very good movie. So if you'd like to come and see it, it's at 4 o'clock.
And it's free.
And it's free. It's free. And it's big, you know,
big
pretty
screen.
Good big screen.
Yeah, if you go to the theater, you have to pay for it. This is free. Hallelujah.
Amen. And then also dinner. We have free dinner afterwards. And we close the Shabbat. And that's an awesome thing to do. And that's in the evening. You know, we eat about 6 o'clock and close the Shabbat, and we're all home by around 7 o'clock. So,
or a little after.
It's wonderful. So if you'd like to know more, have more information, I can give you the telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Amen.
You know, my Bible just automatically opens up in the Old Testament to Leviticus 23.
Well, that's important. That's where everything was established.
It's a very important thing, isn't it?
God established all of it there.
All of the feasts are right here
That's right.
They're not explained in depth, but they're all here, and you can read every single one of them. Isn't that awesome, Pastor Gene? Yeah.
If you study the Bible, you can see how Yeshua, our Messiah, has fulfilled all of this. It's incredible.
Yes,
you know?
He did.
Part of it he hasn't fulfilled yet, but a lot of it he already
has. He's fulfilled the first four,
that's right,
feasts of the Lord, and mm-hmm. we still have three to go.
After Pentecost.
After Pentecost, that's right. He fulfilled Pentecost, didn't he?
Yep, he certainly did.
And so right now we're in the time between Passover and Pentecost. We are in the season of counting the Omer. Counting the Omer.
That's right.
And it's an important time.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Amen.
So we'll be glad to be on the program. I want to say hello to all you out there and in radio land, or computer land, like you said.
To Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island. We say hello to them again.
Yes, amen.
Greet them.
And also to Daryl and up North Carolina and others that are listening to us.
And
to your favorite little doggy.
Yeah. Say hello to Harley, my good friend. He's the prettiest little guy. If you saw him, you'd want to say hello to that little guy. He's so cute. So anyway, hello, Harley, and we trust that you'll have ears to hear, too.
Praise the Lord.
With your master there, all of you. Amen.
God is good.
He sure is. All right, I think we covered the announcements. We don't have anything. We might mention about the, you want to mention the thing? Well, that's next month. You might mention it, though, about the gentleman that's going to be in the church.
It. Yeah. It's going to be
May the 24th.
May the 24th, actually.
Sunday.
That's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a healing evangelist
yes.
come. And his name is, I can't remember the pronounce it, how to pronounce his name. Pastor Gene's going to check, but he's coming, and he will even take people out on the highways and the byways and minister to them salvation and healing. And this man has been to many different countries and around the world.
I think it's on that piece of paper there, Pastor Gene. Is
that
his name?
It's Koo. It's
Koo,
a strange name. Koo.
Yeah.
Cam Koo. Cam Koo. It's not a place.
Sounds like
Cancun,
doesn't it?
Right. His name is Bob Cam. Bob Koo.
They call him Bob, don't they?
They call him Bob, and he's a lot of miracles, healing miracles, and so he's going to be with us in May the 24th.
If you got somebody sick, lame, whatever, bring them.
Bring them.
And
let
him pray for them. So
we've
never met him, but we will, and it's going
to
be an honor.
It's the first time to have him come.
We're going to have him there at 10 o'clock on Sunday. We'll see what God does. If he wants us to do something on Sunday evening, we'll do that as well. Whatever God wants, that's what we want.
We might go out for a while on the highways and byways and minister to people out on the street. That's where we're supposed to be, you know. The church needs to go out. Not the church isn't the church, just the building, you know.
That's right.
The building's where you come to get trained, taught, activated, you know, you worship together. But you got to go out. We got to go out on the highways and byways. That's what Jesus said for him to do. He didn't say go in church and just stay in church building, no. Or just go on Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday or whenever you might go, Friday. He says to get, we're to be out and about.
And go.
Sharing the gospel and people being healed and saved and delivered.
That's right. Speak up for Jesus' name. Amen.
That's right. Baptizing them with the Holy Ghost and fire. Didn't he say that as well?
That's right. That's interesting.
Amen. Yeah. So Jesus told us to go. That's the Great Commission.
That's right. To go.
Is to go.
Go, 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 go. Amen.
Go
so
out.
We don't go to church to be the church. We're the church wherever we go, don't we, Pastor Don? So we have to go out wherever we go. We have an opportunity to speak to people about Jesus, you know. It's incredible. In fact,
I'm going to read this, Pastor Gene, because these are Jesus' words.
That's right. Read
after it. After the resurrection, he told them, he gave them, I'd say it's a command, amen?
Specific orders, didn't he?
That's right. He's the captain.
Marching orders.
And he's the King of Kings.
That's right.
And we're to follow, he's the Lord of Hosts. Mm-hmm. We're to follow him and follow his directions. It says here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
That's right.
Right there.
That's
all
it.
Power.
All power.
And he has given the power to us.
Absolutely.
Hasn't he?
That sure has.
He has given it to us.
That's right.
Then he says, go ye, we haven't said this much lately on the
you
Bible
all,
here.
Yeah.
Ye means everyone, means you,
you all.
That's why this little word ye is in the King James Bible.
So important.
Every other Bible has taken that little ye out and put you. And
that's right.
You is just
individual.
Individual person.
Mm-hmm.
But ye means
you all.
Everyone.
Everyone.
All. But he's Southerner. Amen. You
that's
all.
That's right.
Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, some people just say to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, here we know, here he's saying, the Lord says, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Hallelujah.
See, we're supposed to be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely.
And he said that he would baptize with the Holy Ghost
and fire.
That's right. We need that. We need the Holy Ghost and we need the fire.
That's what this counting the omers is all about. We're going to come out to that day with Pentecost. It's incredible.
That was the fire.
Yeah. But you know, here's a testimony I just had today. If you want,
we're not supposed to put the fire out.
Yeah, that's right.
Or dampen it.
Going. Yeah.
You know, it's always supposed to be burning. The fire of God should always be burning in
all
us.
Time.
No matter what.
That's right.
All the time.
We should be ready in season and out of season. I just tell you a little quick thing that happened with me today. I went to the store. And while I was waiting in line to check out, this gentleman was in front of me, and he was just grumbling and complaining about some things, and said he didn't have any friends. And so when I got up behind him there, I said,
"You tell him you'd be a friend."
I told him, I said, "I'll be your friend." I said, "I'll tell you about my friend. He's the best friend I have on this earth." And I said, "His name is Jesus." And boy, he looked at me. He says, "Yeah, I never thought about that when I was in Vietnam." He said, "I never got welcome back," and he was really complaining. So I got talking to him about Jesus a little bit, and I says, "He's the answer to everything." And he listened to me. He didn't really
Praise
listen
God.
To me. So he when he got done checking out and all there, he had a smile on his face when he left. And I told him, I said, "Remember, Jesus is your friend." And I said, "That's the most important." So I thanked him for serving the military because I was during Vietnam also, and I was in the Navy, and he was in the Navy. So we had a lot in common just to talk about that. But then we got into things about the Lord. And I tell you, I just saw his whole countenance change, and he was just lifted thinking about that. I said, "You need to have Jesus in your heart. And when you do, he's the best friend. He's as close. He sticks closer than a friend."
Did you give me your phone number?
No, I didn't give him my phone
number.
But anyway, his whole countenance changed. So say we need to be ready in season, out of season, all the time to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so
Amen.
When we do, lives can be changed.
Amen.
Well, let's do this today. We're on the 21st day of counting the omer, but I want to go back and share something that happened at First Fruits, and then we're going to lead this into the counting of the omer on the program. We should be able to do this. I want to take you over to Leviticus chapter 23 if you're at home. And you can open up a Bible. If you're home, when you are at home, do that. But don't do it while you're driving a car.
Amen. You know? Don't talk on the phone either.
Don't talk on the phone.
And listen
so
to the
if
radio.
If you're listening on a computer someplace, well, you can open up a Bible the same way. So I'm going to go to Leviticus chapter 23, and I want to read a few verses here. And this is all about first fruits. Now, we all should know, if you've been with us on this program very much, that first fruits was the day that Yeshua rose from the grave, okay? And we've talked about this a lot, that he rose on a date on the Jewish calendar called Nisan 17, which is what? The first day of the week. So I'm going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to ask you a question. How did our Messiah fulfill this in his life? When we think about everything that's written in these, especially these seven appointed times, we've talked about it so much, he had to fulfill everything that's written here. And we know the first four, as Donna mentioned up front, he's fulfilled. But the last three, trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and tabernacles, he is not fulfilled yet. But we see all this, and we're going to find out as we go along. We're getting close. It's going to all be fulfilled by our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. So I'm going to go over here in chapter 23, and I want to start in verse 9, and I'm going to read this real slow with you. Are you ready? Listen to this. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye," here's our word ye again, Pastor Donna,
Amen.
"When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest." Now let's stop and think about this. If they would have obeyed God, they would have been in the promised land in 11 days after they came out of the land of Egypt. But they were disobedient. So they did not, they were not able to reap the harvest of their land until what? 40 years, right, Pastor Don?
Mm.
After they came out. You know, when Joshua took them across the Jordan River.
They didn't have a harvest to reap.
They didn't. No,
all they had was manna.
Manna coming down every day. That's right. Now, verse 11 says, "And he," this is going to be the high priest, "shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it." So the Sabbath here is the weekly Sabbath. So Jesus, Yeshua, in the future came out on Nisan 17. So they were required to wave this sheaf of barley before the Lord on Nisan 17 back in that day. You notice it's a sheaf. It's not an individual thing. So what do they do? a man would be assigned to go out to a field that was picked by the priesthood, and they have to go out and check to see if the barley harvest was ripe. And if it was ripe at this time, which it usually was, that's why this day is important, they would pull up a whole sheaf with lots and lots of grains of barley on it, and they would take into the temple and wave it before the Lord.
It's a worship.
It's a worship, yeah. And so then they had, in verse 12 it says, and you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish. That's the day that Yeshua died, okay, of the first year and so on, okay. So the question is here, how did our Messiah fulfill all this? Now we know this was delayed with Israel because of their sin and disobedience. They had to wait 40 years to be able to harvest their land and all that. But let's do this now. Let's see how Yeshua fulfilled all this. We have to go to the book of Matthew. And I want to go to Matthew chapter 27. And some of you that's been with us for a long time on the radio, you've heard us talk about this before. But see, our Master and our Redeemer, he had to fulfill every single thing that was written in the Word of God to be our Messiah. We talk about this a lot, you know. When we take communion all with the Lord, we think about the day that he died on the Passover, you know, that he was on that tree for 6 hours, a long time, to fulfill the morning offering at 9 and the one that was required at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And that's the reason why he died at 3 p.m. So he had to fulfill all that. But let's take a look at this about how he fulfilled what we just read over there. Now I'm going to take you to chapter 27 of the book of Matthew. And I think we'll just start in verse 50 here. If you're opening up a Bible at home, if not, have ears to hear. As we mentioned up front, if you'd like to get a CD or a tape, after we get done teaching, you can just send us a love offering, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. And you send that to, make out the check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, mail it to the same name and all, Post Office Box 413, that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. All right, do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is going to say to you now? Let's look and read here the Holy Word. Verse 50, Jesus, or Yeshua, when he heard and it cried out again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. It meant he died. Now, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. This means in two. What? From the top to the bottom. You notice it wasn't from bottom to the top. It's from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. So there was an earthquake. There was a shaking there. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves. This is a key word now. Came out of the graves after. They couldn't do it before, had to be after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto what? Unto many. And I like the next verse. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And he certainly is, isn't he? Amen. Glory be to God. Now let's just think about this. We just read that over in Leviticus 23. How did Yeshua fulfill that wave offering that had to be there? Right, Pastor Don? How did he do this? Okay. Now think about this. He died, and it says right here there was an earthquake, and it says that the graves were opened. Okay. Huh? The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept, they arose. In other words, they came alive. And I believe, personally, this is my opinion, that they were put into a supernatural body, just like Yeshua's, and we find out what's going to happen here, okay? So this all happened when Jesus died on what? Nisan 17. That's when he died, okay?
Not after he rose, but
that's right. When he died. We just read that he died, okay?
That's right.
All right, on Nisan 17. And then it says, and the earthquake and the rocks and all that rent, it means the rocks split in half. Can you believe that? Yeah, the Bible says so. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves, it says, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So look what happened here. There was a lot of saints that came out.
And they went into the city.
And they went into the city, it tells us.
And people saw them.
And people saw them. So they recognized the people that were brought out of the graves. Now we don't know how many there were. We have no idea. It was probably a mixture of men and women. Who knows? It might have been a lot of people. Some people even think it might have been all the Old Testament saints that walked righteous with God, you know. But that's not true, because we find out some other things in the scripture that all had to happen later. But this was what I call a token resurrection, okay? And these people that came out, I believe with all my heart, were put into a supernatural body, just like what Yeshua came out of in a supernatural body as well. And so this was all done on this on Nisan 17 after his resurrection. It's incredible when you think about it, amen? Mm-hmm. Now think, he died on Nisan 14, The next day was Nisan 15, which is the first day of unleavened bread. It was a high Sabbath. And the next day was what? The weekly Sabbath. And then we had what? The first day of the week. So I thought about this morning, Pastor Don. You know, he was in the grave for 3 days. He came out, and this reveals, right, that he came out on the third day, didn't he? Yeah, from Nisan 14 to 17, it's 3 days. It's incredible. So he did come out. And so we know that when he died, what? He went down to a place called paradise. It tells us that in the Bible. Remember the thief on the cross and asked the Lord to let him be with him that day? And the Lord said, today, not tomorrow, the future, says, today you'll be with me in paradise, because he must have died. So his spirit and soul, like Jesus' spirit and soul, went where? To a place called paradise, or Abraham's bosom, okay? And they stayed down there for 3 days, and Jesus declared his victory and all that. And then on the third day, on Nisan 17, what happened? He came out of the grave, rose from the grave, and when he came out, what did he do? He took all those saints that were held in paradise, the righteous ones from the first covenant that walked with the Lord, all right? He took all them to heaven with him, not their bodies, but what? Their spirit and soul, okay? Including these people right here that came out of the grave, but these people were put into supernatural bodies, I believe, because it says that people saw them walking in the city, okay? So he took them out, and he went to glory. So what did he do with that? He took all those saints to heaven with him, their soul, spirits and souls, and what did he do? Basically, he waved them before the Lord as a token of his resurrection.
Isn't so it? These sheaves is the same as like back in Leviticus, where they told him to take a whole sheep. They came out, and
lots
he actually
of
had to pull it out of the ground.
That's right.
You know, like, and these people had to be pulled out of the ground.
That's right.
You know, out of the ground. They're, you know, they were in paradise, but their bodies had to, the graves had to open up. And so when he waved it back there where you read it in Leviticus 23, so this is the same thing. This is like the wave offering.
That's right.
Of the first fruits, mm-hmm. of the souls that came out of the grave after that, went into the city, holy city.
After his resurrection.
After his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I wonder what these people did those 3 days between the resurrection and the death of Christ. It's interesting because it says here that, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And that happened on the day that he died.
Nisan
14.
That's right.
And it says, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent.
So it was an earthquake.
It was an earthquake.
And the rocks split into it.
And it says, and the graves were opened.
That's right.
Wow. And so these bodies came out of these graves.
Well, I've got some other Jewish writings I've got. I can't tell exactly where it is right now, but if somebody wants to know, I can find it. There was a writing, now we can't say it, call it canon, but people actually, things were written about people seeing people when Jesus died, when he came out of the grave and all, that they actually saw these, a lot of people in
they recognized them, you
they
mean?
They recognized them. Mm-hmm. And it said, mm-hmm. what I read was, they said they walked on the earth for 3 days, and then they went to glory.
Wow.
So we can't prove that. But these people said they saw them alive after Jesus' resurrection. So think about it.
Actually, those 3 days could have been from the time of the earthquake, from the time of the death of Christ.
Yes.
And then they went into the city on the Nisan 17 when Jesus actually went into the city as well.
That's right.
That was the day he walked on the road with those two fellas, and then they went back to Jerusalem.
That's right.
And they went into the city.
Yeah.
And all these people were there. It just must be really something.
Well, if they saw him walking in the streets, it means they must have recognized some of the people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, I believe they were put in supernatural bodies with Jesus, and they were a token of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first person, the first fruits, the first person that ever came out of the grave was put into a supernatural body, amen? So here we have this. So this is how he fulfilled Leviticus chapter 23 over there about waving what? The sheaf at first fruits. It's incredible what we have in the Bible.
So how long did these people stay on the earth before?
Well, I read, if it's true, it was like 3 days and they were taken off the earth.
3 days and they were taken off the earth.
That's right. So it's incredible. We don't know that for sure, but anyway, they were seen. And so, and the Bible also tells us why. After Jesus' resurrection, at one point, that over 500 people saw him alive at one time. Can you believe that? 500 people
saw
him alive.
Well, they saw him when he went to the last time, when he went back to heaven. He rose back up, went back to the Father.
Everybody was there, saw it, didn't they?
After he spent those 40 days.
That's right.
And those 40 days that he spent with his disciples and other people were the times of the counting of the Omer.
That's right.
And then there was 10 more days, and you know, he told his disciples to wait and to tarry in Jerusalem, and they did that in the upper room till they be endued with power from on high, which is the empowering of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Wow.
So Nisan 17 then was what? Was the beginning of the counting of the Omer. It was a day. It tells you over there. You know, you count 7 weeks and then you add one day, which is going to be 50 days. So it has to count 50 days. So that's what we're doing. We're counting the Omer right now. Today is the 21st day of counting the Omer out to the 50 days. Well, what's that all about? They had to have enough wheat and see if it was mature. So they counted every day. And when they got out to the 50th day, the same thing had to be done again. The priest had a field they went out to. And they looked to see if the wheat harvest, this was the early wheat, if it was harvested. And what did they have to have? They had to have enough grain. You know, we think about an omer as a measure of grain. They had to have enough grain to make those two loaves of bread that's talked about also.
Right.
In Leviticus chapter 23, it was waved before the Lord. And remember, they had the loaves had leaven in them and all that. And so that's what the counting of the omer is all about. And so we're just 3 weeks now into this. So we got a ways to go, don't we, to get out to the
So they're counting the omer. It's the barley. And then when it gets up to, then the wheat.
And the wheat starts.
Then the wheat starts. And
that's
then,
right.
then they're counting the wheat as well.
That's right. So it's incredible we see all this. And so when Jesus came out, it tells you in Leviticus chapter 23 what they begin to count, what they begin to count the Omer to go out to that 49th day. And then they add one day, which is the 50th day.
Which is Pentecost.
It's called Pentecost or Shavuot in the Hebrew, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. So you see, the Lord had to fulfill every single thing that was written. He could not miss anything at all. Even we talked about the 6 hours on the cross. You know, he had to fulfill. There was a requirement of fulfillment had to be done all the time. But he fulfilled it of a free will offering, a burnt offering at 9 in the morning, at 3 p.m. between the two evenings every single day. And that's so key when we understand that, what we have with all this. And so he had to fulfill all of that because God had to have a way that he could fulfill that. And that's why he didn't die instantly. He had to fulfill both of those. And so he did that for you and I. Isn't that incredible?
Mm.
It just makes me well up thinking about that he hung on that tree for 6 hours and suffered like he did. And yet he never complained. He never griped. He never said much of anything except the things that need to be said. You know, like the last thing. It is finished. The last sacrifice that will ever be required for forgiveness of sin. Yeshua brought all that into being. It's incredible when we think about all that. And so he fulfilled every little detail. And by the way, if you read the 5 offerings mentioned in Leviticus in the first couple chapters there, you know, the trespass, the peace offering, and the burnt offering and all that, Yeshua fulfilled every single one of those offerings in his life for you and I. It's incredible when I think about it. Amen? So he hung between heaven and earth for those 6 hours for you and I, for all of mankind that would accept what God had done through his son. He sent him to the earth to bring the forgiveness of sin. I'm always reminded of what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming, Yeshua. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." It didn't say sins. It says the sin of the world. I mean, it means everything.
All the sin.
So when
sin.
And while he was on that cross, all the sin of the world was put on him. He never sinned. He never failed. And I like that scripture in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "The man that knew no sin became sin for us." It means he became our bloody sacrifice. Became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, some of the Bibles say that we might become. No, you're made at that quick. You're made. You're not becoming. You are. And so he did it for us. So we might become what? That we might be, I shouldn't say, I said become, thinking about the other verse. We might be made what? The righteousness of God. It's not our righteousness, is it, Pastor Donna? It's his. And so he imputes that to us because of everything that he did for us. It's incredible. But he had to fulfill it all. You thinking about something there, Pastor Donna?
Okay. No.
Another thing I'm thinking about, remember after he was water baptized, when he grew up, was 30 years old, and he was water baptized, and God sent him out in the wilderness by the Spirit of God. He was out there for 40 days and 40 nights. All right? Well, that had all been fulfilled also. But think about just prior to that, what happened? John the Baptist was with Jesus when he was what? He was baptized. And John the Baptist told the Lord, he says, "Oh, no, you ought to be baptizing me, not me baptizing you." But Jesus said, "Allow it to be so. Allow it to be so that we might fulfill what? Here we go. All righteousness again." This is so key. So what happened? It relates to what happened with a high priest. When he went into office, he had to have a mikveh the first thing. That means he took a bath, okay?
Yeah.
And then he was anointed with oil. All right? Think about that. And then he had to sacrifice an animal because all those men were sinners back in those days, weren't they? They all sinned and failed and missed the glory of God. So he was anointed. So when he was water baptized, what happened? He went into the water, and when everybody looked up, they saw this dove coming down, you know, and the Holy Ghost was a symbol of what? The
Holy
dove
Ghost
and a bird.
Came upon him.
Came upon him. Mm-hmm. So what? He was anointed then. Huh?
Yes,
so he was water baptized and he was anointed, and then it had to be a sacrifice. Well, what was that? It was going to be him in the future. He was the one that was going to be the one that's going to be sacrificed. So he fulfilled all righteousness. And I don't know whether John the Baptist understood all that at that time, but that's what he says. Suffer to be so, or allow it to be so, that we might, him and John the Baptist mm-hmm. both, what? Might fulfill all righteousness, showing you and I that Jesus had to do everything in this book, or we couldn't have the righteousness imputed to us, because it was all about his life when he died for all of us. He never failed one time. He never lied once. He never connived. He never manipulated anybody. He just told them the truth. And because of that, he's today sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he is our Savior. It tells us over there in one of Paul's epistles that the man that knew no sin became what? Sin for us. Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
That was in 2 Corinthians. But he also said later on, Paul, in one of the epistles, I think it was in Philippians, that he was willing to lay his life down even to the point of dying on a cross. Think about that. Incredible. And it says, because he was willing to do that, God gave him a name above all names, that someday every knee will bow, every tongue confess
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is Lord, whether in heaven, on the earth, or underneath. That covers every area, doesn't it, Pastor Don? Either in heaven, on the earth, or underneath in hell even.
Underneath.
Okay?
Amen.
Incredible.
Thank
what,
you, Lord.
What God's given us with all this because of our Savior. It's incredible.
Thank you,
so we
Lord.
Take communion. It should never become something rote or something that we just do. We need to think of the impact
right.
behind this and what our Savior, our Redeemer, what he went through that we might have what we have today.
Mm.
And I thank God that we're sitting here, Pastor Donna, that we have Jesus' righteousness imputed to us because of what he did for us. We never deserved one thing. We never earned it. It was a free gift. You know, the Bible says what? The wages of sin is what? Is death. But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if somebody's listening today mm-hmm. and you've never asked him to come into your life, this is the day that you need to do it, because today is a day of salvation, not tomorrow.
Amen.
So just ask him to forgive you your sins and ask him to come in. You believe that he died, rose from the grave from you, you just tell him that. So if I believe that, then I'm going to be saved. And that's all you have to do.
That's right.
That's all you have to do.
Thank
and if there's
you,
a backslider listening today, somebody that's just drifted away from the Lord, maybe you've been away from the Lord for 2 or 3 years or 10 years, and you're being quickened by what we're talking about here today, what he did for you, you can ask for forgiveness. His hand is never too short to bring you back to that place. Ask him to forgive you, that you want to start over again, and you can pray that simple prayer with him. Lord, I've failed you. I've sinned. I'm asking you. I'm believing in you. I'm trusting you. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins, and I want to get back in that place with you. And if you do, immediately you'll be right there with him again. It's incredible.
Ask him to come into your heart.
Because his mercy and his grace is so wonderful. One drop of his blood, all it took, right?
Wash me and cleanse
That's
me
right.
with your blood.
That's
Set
right.
me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me.
That's right.
Wow. I believe that you are risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
I believe you are coming back again for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost, a hunger for the things of God, and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's exactly
preach
it.
Preach the gospel.
That's
and
it.
And then you're saved. You're
saved.
Born again. You're
right.
forgiven.
So where are you saved? What are you saved from?
You're on your way to heaven.
That's right. What are you saved from? Saved from what? From our sins.
Our sin.
But there's a blessing that goes along with it, that you're going to be in the kingdom of God as well.
We're
amen?
On our way to heaven.
That's right.
Because Jesus is in our hearts.
And we're saved
amen.
From hell, aren't we? Hallelujah. We're
amen.
Going to go to heaven. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen.
Amen. Glory
so
to
it's
God.
Wonderful. Let's go back to Leviticus 23 now. We talked about the token resurrection that our Savior allowed to happen so that he could fulfill this. And let's go on down now and let's talk about the counting of the Omer a little bit. We've mentioned it before, but we still got several days to go. We're only on the 21st day. Verse 15 tells us in Leviticus 23, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath," the weekly Sabbath, "from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering that we just talked about earlier," what? "Seven Sabbaths shall be completed," so that would be what? 49 days. Now listen to this. "Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall be ye number what? 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. It's something new. Nothing was ever done before until this time. Okay.
It's a new meat offering. And now it's a wheat offering.
So what's a meat offering? Meat offering. It's a grain offering, isn't it?
It's a meat offering. It's a grain. Doesn't mean meat.
That's right.
So now they're going to offer not barley, but...
We're leading out to the early wheat harvest.
The wheat harvest.
That's right. Now 17 says, you shall bring out of your habitations, listen to this now, 2 wave loaves. So the bread's going to be made into loaves. Of 2 tenth deals, this is a measure of grain again. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. See, it's got leaven in them. You know, when we take communion, we use unleavened bread.
They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
So there's another first fruits at Pentecost, just like we have right here with Yeshua, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. So we read this last week, and we find out there's 13 offerings that was given here on that particular day, on the day of Pentecost. It's interesting, amen?
Hmm.
And then verse 20 says, and the priest shall wave them, well, this bread offering, with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Now think about this. We're talking about first fruits. This is another first fruits harvest, just like, so is tabernacles. So when they got near this day, they had to go out, and there was a field set aside. They had to go out, and they had to pull up a sheaf again, probably a big sheaf of wheat that was ripe. And what did they do? They brought it back in, and they had to prepare it. You know, the wheat had to be crushed and all that, and they made flour out of it so they could make these 2 loaves of bread. So they had to do it. And it was called what? First fruits. It's incredible. And this is even a picture, Pastor Donna, of the catching away, because the Jews were required, the men were required to appear in Jerusalem with 3 appointed times, weren't they? When was that? At Passover, Pentecost, and also what? At Tabernacles. They're all what? First fruits appointments and times. And so they had to be a sheaf brought out, a first fruits, before they were to... Before the people were released to go out, then they what? Harvest the entire field. The field is a picture of the world. You talked about Ruth, about the 4 corners
Sunday.
That was left over on Sunday, that was left over for Ruth to glean that field.
That's right. We found
out, I used to think it was just during the barley harvest, but chapter 2 there, I think verse 1 or 2 tells you that it was from the time of the barley harvest until the wheat harvest. So that means she was in that field doing that, and doing in the fields that Boaz had for how long? For 50 days. It's incredible.
At least 50 days.
At least 50
because
days.
Because she also was gleaning the wheat as well.
That's right. It's incredible.
So she got the barley and the wheat.
Amen.
Well, she was told to stay in one field.
That's right.
She didn't go to
five or six
owners, I should say.
Maybe there might have been more than one field.
But
Boaz owned them all.
She was to stay in Boaz's field, and he protected her. Wow, there's so much in that book of Ruth.
That's right.
And you know, he watched over her, and you know, he ends up being her husband, she had a child by him, and so she was very special, and she was. She was called a virtuous woman.
Woman, she sure was.
She was a virtuous woman, and she was very obedient to do, because her desire was to please Naomi and to be joined in. And there we're talking about the Jew and the Gentile.
That's right.
The one in Yeshua. So she became part of Israel.
She sure did.
And so a Gentile became part. And so when we are born again, we're spiritual Jews. Some people may not believe that, but we're grafted in. We're grafted in to what? To the true branch.
That's right.
I mean, we were wild at one time, right?
That's right.
We're grafted in. And so she was grafted in. That's a picture of the Jew and the Gentile come together. And also, like you said, the field. And what did they glean? They were able to go, and they told them to leave the 4 corners.
For the poor and needy.
For the poor and the needy.
Mm-hmm.
But she was treated, she had a special treat.
Sure did, boy.
Because she had special favor. Mm-hmm. And she was told, and also Boaz told his men servants, to just drop some, as you're doing the field, just drop some.
Yeah, leave it
and,
for her.
And she didn't have to go to the corner. She could just follow.
He took
care of those who are reaping the field. just follow those, and then she can gather from there. And so, she didn't have to go to the four corners because she had favor.
That's right.
When you have favor with God, he finds a way that makes things easier for you.
That's right. Just like Jesus. Boaz was a picture of Yeshua. He was her kinsman redeemer. Boaz was. It's a picture of that. Now, thinking about this bread of the first fruits, how did Yeshua fulfill that one now? We talked about the one in the spring. What about the one in the wheat? What happened? The day of Pentecost, there was 120 in upper room. They were the first fruits of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's
and we
right.
got people, they don't even want the Holy Ghost the way it's written in the Bible.
True.
So they were the first fruits of what? Of the empowerment by the Holy Ghost. It's incredible.
And the fire of God was waved over them.
That's right.
They saw it, and what did they do? They began speaking in other tongues.
That's right.
That was the beginning of the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And it hasn't stopped. It wasn't to stop there in the upper room.
It was to continue forever.
Jesus said, and says in the Gospels, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right.
It doesn't mean the fire is supposed to go out. Well, many times the fire seems to dwindle. You got to stir up the gift that's within you. Says over there in Timothy. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. And how do you stir it up? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
That's a fact. Well, then how was first fruits fulfilled in tabernacles then? That's way out yet. How did they do that one? Well, then that's when all the crops came. The late wheat was harvested, the figs, the grapes, all
grapes,
that.
Grapes.
What did they do?
Pressed.
They had to do the same thing. They had to wave it before the Lord. But what was that a picture of? Huh? It was a picture of the kingdom of God being established at that particular time.
Okay.
So you and I, they will be there. We'll be a first fruits to go into the kingdom of God because of what Jesus did for us. It's incredible.
Awesome.
So all the pictures, the patterns are all through the word of God. So first fruits are very important. And there's three key appointed times that God demanded of the males. They had to do that no matter where they were at. Some of the men on the day of Pentecost, they're in Acts chapter 2, they traveled from way up in Mesopotamia and all. They were Jews. It might have taken them 3 months to get there for that particular day, and they had to all be there. And so it tells us in Acts chapter 2, on that day is when God was fulfilling what was spoken at Mount Sinai about these appointed times and all. About 1500 years after the exact day that he spoke from Mount Sinai, what happened? The Holy Ghost moved into that room suddenly, and they saw a fire on the mountain in the wilderness. But in that day, they saw little fires on all the people,
and on
their heads and their shoulders. And so, what happened? Instead of God speaking by Himself, then He began to speak to individuals that they can speak for God. Amen. And so, they were all baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. What? As the Spirit gave them utterance. That has not come to an end, my dear brothers and sisters.
And there were women, too.
There were women
in the upper room. So it wasn't just the apostles or the disciples. It was 120 people.
That's right.
Approximately, and men and women. And so, what happened, like you said, back on Mount Sinai, this is the same time.
Exact day.
The exact day that the Holy Ghost was poured out.
Sivan 6
at Pentecost, or Shavuot, is how you pronounce it.
Yep.
And so here we have another picture,
another fulfillment
of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. There are, and within the different feasts, there are different fulfillments in some of them.
Like,
for instance, the one that happened at Mount Sinai, this was a New Testament fulfillment with Yeshua. Now, people being able to hear. In the Old Testament, the only people that the Spirit of God came upon would be priests, kings,
and prophets.
But in our covenant, those who believe in Yeshua, Jesus as the Christ and the Messiah, the Bible says that we are priests and kings.
That's right.
And so that we can receive this baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to be in a particular age. The Holy Ghost doesn't have an age.
Sure doesn't. Thank you, Lord.
The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God.
We saw a lot of children get
Jesus,
in our years.
When Jesus said He had to go back to the Father to release this baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it would be for us to what? To help us, to teach us, to guide us, to empower us, that we would have
boldness.
The boldness that we would have
the
word of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's all these things that get all these things that that's part of the Spirit of God. We be imparted to it as we seek the Lord, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So we don't have to be a king like you had to be in the Old Testament, because It says that we are kings and priests.
We're
and
both.
It says we're a peculiar people. So God speaks to, like I said, it can, you can be 99 years old or you can be 4 years old, you know, maybe younger. But God does speak to children as well. Having children have had heavenly dreams.
That's right.
And heavenly visions.
And we prayed for many kids, young people, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they receive
and they
it very easily.
That's right. They receive it easier, probably, than someone that's been to some church.
Trying to figure it out.
And been taught that it wasn't for today. You know, like I was when I was brought up, and I went to a church that didn't speak in tongues. They didn't believe in music. There was a lot of things. And so, but, you know, we want everything. We want everything that God has for us. And so when I came to that place where I said, you know, I want more. I want everything. God,
right.
Show me and teach me. And so, you know, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then, you know, actually, this is the time also of the counting of the Omer, because it's the time of greater revelation. You know, Yeshua
sure is.
That's right. Yeshua is he's in heaven. He's out of the grave.
Been there a long time.
And we have the Holy Ghost, and so we can receive more and more from Him, and
Amen.
More and more depth and more understanding of what He was saying when He spoke.
That's right.
Amen.
You think
God.
About now. Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, isn't He?
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. You know, He walked the earth, and they called Him a prophet, and He was. Okay. Now He's in the office of what? He's a high priest on the right hand of the Father. He's getting ready to come back. He's going to be the King of Kings, okay, and the Lord of Lords. So He fulfilled all three of those offices. So He had to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet, priest, and king. Just like it was those people in the first covenant also had the Spirit of God come upon them, and they spoke on behalf of God, didn't they? It's incredible when we think about it.
He's fulfilled all those things, and
he's
given them to us.
He has to fulfill it all to be our Messiah.
Awesome.
He didn't miss one thing. He crossed every T, dotted all the I's. He's incredible. What an awesome Savior we have. We ought to get excited about that, right, Pastor Don? We don't get excited enough about
Pastor
people
James.
Get excited about a lot of the stuff in the world. Let's get, you know, we see these people shouting and jumping at these rock concerts and the entertainment. Why don't we just get excited about Him and jump up and down a little bit and know who we belong to because of Him? Hallelujah. It's incredible. I just love it. But you're talking about kings and priests. We are. It's mentioned twice in the Bible, in the book of Revelation,
mm-hmm.
that we're kings and priests unto the Lord. It's incredible to think about that, you know? And who
and
was
we're
the
peculiar people. Isn't he saying that? Didn't Peter? Isn't that in Peter?
So? Yeah. But think about another man's name in the first covenant, Melchizedek, okay? He had no origin, they didn't know anything about him. But, you know, he was the priest of what? Of Salem, which turned into the city of Jerusalem. Isn't that incredible? So he was a priest and a king at the same time. And so Paul talked about it in the book of Hebrews, relating Yeshua, our Messiah, with Melchizedek, an unending priesthood. Aren't you glad?
Wow.
Glory be to God. I get excited about it, thinking about the things we have in the Bible about God's Son.
I'm just going to read this over here.
Right ahead,
honey. Peter.
All right.
I can find it.
Thank you, Jesus.
It says
Thank
here.
You. We are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation, aren't we? Hallelujah.
It says here in chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word,
thank you, Lord,
that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious,
mm-hmm.
to whom coming as unto a living stone.
Whoa.
Thank you, Lord. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God.
Oh, boy.
And precious.
Shoshamandarabha.
Verse 5. This is the key verse. Ye also as lively stones.
Right.
Wow, lively stones. We're not supposed to be a dead church.
That's
We're
right.
supposed to be a live, well church. We're
That's
not
right.
supposed to be a sick church.
That's right.
We're not supposed to be a you know, give up church. We're supposed to be lively stones.
Mm-hmm.
We're built up a spiritual house. We're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. By Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Whoa. Let me go down here to
Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation.
Whoa.
A royal priesthood, a holy nation. See, we don't belong to this nation, the United States.
That's right.
We belong to the nation of God.
That's right.
The nation of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous
light. Wow. Boy.
Glory to God.
That ought to get you excited.
Glory to God.
The promises that we have. It's so wonderful. It is. It's incredible. What an awesome Savior that we have.
A royal priesthood.
That's right.
A holy nation. And God is calling His people to be holy. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be holy.
That's right. You got it.
Holy nation.
Let's read something out of Revelation chapter 1 here.
Okay.
This is really good. So I mentioned that, you know, the priests and kings is mentioned twice here in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go
to... We just read priesthood.
Yeah, let's go to Revelation chapter 1 here with you listeners here today. If you can open up a Bible. If not, you can listen.
Verse 6.
If you want to get a tape or a CD, you can call and we'll be glad to send one out. All we ask for is a love offering. Let's start here in... let's start in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. You hear that? He's the first fruits, in other words. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, listen to this, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us, listen to this, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful verses, isn't it? Wow. Because
that's
of his blood.
Of
that's what
that's
it
right.
says.
And, you know, some people don't like that. See, they don't want to hear about the blood.
That's right.
A lot of people don't want to hear about the cross. They don't want to hear about the blood. But this is, look, he says, we washed us from our sins.
Sins.
In his own blood.
It's incredible.
The blood of Jesus.
That's right. It's amazing.
We've been washed.
When we think about it. Amazing. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So we have so much to be thankful for with the Word of God and so much to be fulfilled. So you know, we've been talking about a lot of these things. I might just mention here, we got about 7 minutes left, that I have a book out that's called
Pictures of the Messiah.
Pictures of the Messiah, but also about God's spiritual calendar. And I offer that for $25, plus maybe $2 or $3 for shipping and handling. And it'll cover all the appointments. It talks a little bit about the Sabbath, which is really the first one. Then there's 7 appointed times after that. And there's a chapter, or some of the appointed times have 2 chapters, like trumpets and some of these, okay? But it'll give you a lot of understanding about the Jewish understanding and the roots that we have. And Yeshua fulfilled all the Jewish roots because he was the one, his father gave them to the Israel people, what? To keep and to maintain and to honor them every single year. God's cyclic. He goes around every year and they do these things over and over again. So think about that. You know, you're talking about first fruits of the Passover and all that. Well, you know, they rehearsed that for like 1,500 years every single year after they came out of Egypt and all that. Well, think about this. About 1,500 years after that, it became the real thing. See, before it was like a dress rehearsal. It was a practice, a rehearsal. And they really didn't understand all, which they should have, but they didn't. But anyway, then one day it became the real thing when the lamb that was killed and the blood was put on the doorpost and lintel on their homes, and they stayed in those homes. Well, the real Lamb of God came and died and shed his blood for you and I, and now we have his blood over our house, not our physical house, but our tent that we're walking in, our body.
Amen.
Over our house and over our doorpost and our lintel as well. And so what an incredible picture there that he fulfilled all that for our lives as well. So we should be faithful now in our houses, even as God mentioned in Hebrews that Moses was faithful in all of his house. Well, Jesus was faithful in all of his house when he walked this earth also. So we need to be faithful in our house while we're walking with the Lord to keep it a holy and a righteous temple of God, because you are the temple of God. God lives in us. We're the ark of God now. Hallelujah. And so we want to honor him in everything that we do. And so keeping all these appointed times, I've had people tell me, well, you're crazy, Pastor Gene. No, they're memorials. They're remembrances of what he did for us. Every one of those is something that he did for us. And so we need to honor those things. And so that's what we do here. We honor and celebrate the Sabbath and also the first day of the week. We honor them both. And it's important to know that. And so we honor the Sabbath. And God told us that the Sabbath would be there forever. And you think about over there in Exodus chapter 19 when God gave the Ten Commandments. The one in the middle, the fifth one, he says, remember the Sabbath. Well, it was never actually officially instituted over there in that chapter, but the Jewish people knew from Genesis 1 all the way through the seventh day was a day of rest, because God's going to establish his kingdom one day when the seventh millennial time comes. After the 6,000 years, there's going to be 1,000 years of rest, which is a Sabbath rest for the people of God, Jew and Gentile, the body of Christ. It's incredible when we think about all this. So God gave the Israel people all this that they might learn what the prophetic implications were all about. Yes, something happened in a natural realm in that
Amen.
Day, but the key thing was a spiritual application that was prophetic to what was going to happen in the future. So these seven times are all prophetic to the last days that we're coming up in. And so we need to be aware of this, and we won't be caught in darkness. We got this Christian mind all the time. Let's go and see what Paul and John and Peter understood from the letters that they wrote and all, because they were Jewish and they knew what God had said to them and how it was all written for them to understand the revelation they received. And so it's important that we understand that. And I was thinking about this, Pastor. Now, you're thinking about the things that these men got. I'm going to take you over to 2 Peter with you for a moment. They received so much from the Lord, but listen to this. This is in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen to this. I'm going to start in verse 14. It says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things," about the Lord's coming back and all, "be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." So he received much from the Lord. Now listen to this. "As also in all of his epistles," this is Paul's epistles, "speaking in them of these things, in which are some things," Peter says, "are hard to understand."
Amen.
Because they don't understand the Jewish roots and what God's showing with us prophetically. Now listen to this. "Which they that are unlearned and unstable," this is what we have a lot in the church, because they don't look at these things, "rest," W-R-E-S-T. It means they're going to rest or twist, "as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own," what? "Destruction." So we need to understand the Word of God. And these things that God put in the Bible are not done away. That's why I don't like to call it the Old Covenant. I don't want to call it the Old Covenant. It's the First Covenant, or the First Testament. And now we're in the New Testament.
Amen.
So we're down to about a minute and a half. So we get excited talking about the things of God. But we're going to close here.
We sure do.
And Pastor Don, whatever you want to say as we close.
Well, praise the Lord. This is
it goes by so
fast. Keep going. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just blessed to be on this radio station every Saturday, Lord willing, WCNO.com. You can also listen to this on your internet.
Yeah.
You can go and you can listen to this broadcast again on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we also have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning service at 10 a.m., and we also have Friday night Shabbat service at 7 p.m., and then we meet on Saturday at 4 o'clock. For teaching or a video teaching, something about the Lord. It's always something about
always
the Lord.
About the Lord.
A good movie. This today we have the movie. What was the name of the movie?
Heaven is Real.
Heaven is Real. Heaven is Real at 4 o'clock, and then we close the Shabbat with a dinner. So come and join us and a little dinner, and we close the Shabbat with the Shabbat prayers after dinner. So
what are we saying? We close
say
every
Shabbat
day?
Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
And I tell you as I close, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. God bless you. Have a great day.
Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.